Well, tonight we start with our new series, and this is the first time in 10 years that a vicar has allowed me to put a sermon series together. So this is a momentous occasion for me, so I hope it goes well. If it doesn't, you'll probably never see any of my work in sermons again, but let's hope it will be a blessing to all of us. So we're talking about grandparenting with grace. So we should be concerned with the salvation and spiritual growth of our children, grandchildren, nieces, nephews, and godchildren. Each week, I meet with older Christians from across this church who struggle with guilt and fear that comes with their older grown-up children who are no longer believers, or they have chosen a life that they never expected. The church is often silent and unprepared to offer hope, or worse, pulls away and condemns, leaving older Christians wondering what they should have done. As a leader in this church, I want to apologise for any way this church has caused your children to turn away from God. I want to apologise for any way your children were told they were not welcome. I want to apologise if your children identified as same-sex attracted and they were told to find a new church. I want to apologise if bad teaching in this church has caused your child to sin and lose their faith. None of this stuff is God-honouring. But wait, the wonderful and great news is that God's word offers hope for the hurting parents and grandparents of non-believing children. It guides us on how to respond with love and care for our non-believing children, grandchildren, nieces, nephews, and godchildren. This sermon series is seven weeks long. Let's listen and come with open hearts on this journey of being older adults who share the good news of Jesus with the next generation. So what do we learn about teaching the next generation from God? We know that God values children. Children are a blessing. There are 1,700 references to children in the Bible, which means they are very important to God. This is illustrated in Psalm 127. Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They shall not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court. Now let's look at today's passage. I love the way that Psalm 145 starts. I exalt you, my God the King, I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. Psalm 145 clearly tells us why we've been placed on earth. We've been placed on earth to be personally blown away by the glory of God. As Christians, we should be blown away by the glory of God, and we should, not just for ourselves, but for others. And with that in mind, we need to pass on this beautiful picture of the glory of God down to the next generation. There's no better gift you can give to your children to have them growingly blown away, overwhelmed, mystified in wonder and awe at God's glory. And he's created a world that reveals his glory, so you have plenty of opportunities to point to his glory. We are not meant to live for the glory of our own wants, our own needs, and our own feelings, but to live for the glorious glory of God, and for that we need rescuing grace. Psalm 145 highlights the vital importance of parents witnessing to their children, of grandparents witnessing to their grandchildren, and older Christians here at St Hilary's witnessing to the younger generation. Psalm 145 verse 4 is a verse that every older adult needs to hide within their hearts. But I would not just say parents or grandparents, but every one of us in the church. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. This is a picture we see all throughout the Psalms and throughout Scripture, that the next generation will not know the works and the worth of God if the previous generation doesn't commend his works to them and declare his mighty acts to them. And those words, commend and declare, are so important. It's not just tell, it's not just talking here, because there's a way to talk about God that frankly sometimes is kind of boring and dry. I don't know about you, but when I've tried to tell younger generations who are not believers about how awesome God is, I get disinterested looks, eye rolls, and well, that's just a coincidence and religion is not for me. Psalm 145 reminds us to praise God. The whole picture here is one generation shall commend, like exalt and praise and brag and boast in God's works to another. That's the picture here. So whether you're a mum, a dad, a grandmother, a grandfather, an aunt, an uncle, a godparent, or a spiritual parent, you need to be excited about your faith. Be excited about God's immeasurable love for us. Be excited about what God is doing in your life. It can look a bit like this. Now, I'm sorry to tell some of you this, but you're old enough to be my parent. I'm 54, so you can do the maths. A few months ago, Carl and I were invited to the Buchanan's farm. It was a great day. We had a beautiful lunch, a long walk, then afternoon tea under the oak tree. It was idyllic. Jeff then launches into this beautiful story. You see that house in the distance? Well, one of our neighbours lives there. A while ago, we bumped into our neighbour who shared with us that his wife had terminal cancer. Jeff offered to pray for them. Then God did something truly amazing. He healed his wife. See, Jeff was sharing the glory of God with the next generation. My duty, responsibility, and privilege as a mum is to commend God's works to my children, to not just tell them what God has done, but tell them with zeal about what God has done, to boast in what God has done, to commend in what God has done, to declare his mighty acts to them, to tell them how awesome God is. I try to do that as a mum now and as a godparent. Whenever I pick up Emmy, so I am Liz Webster's child, Emmy's godparent, which is very exciting for me. I can't stop buying things for that child, but that's We'll work on that. But the thing that I do every time I pick her up is I say, Jesus loves you. I remind her of that every time. Now that Bella and Charlie are young adults, I love sharing God's goodness with them. Currently, Bella is looking for a job. She completes her Masters of Teaching in English and English Literature in a couple of months. This week, she's been applying for jobs. On Wednesday, she had an interview at a secondary school. My prayer was that if this was the job that God wanted her to have, it would be made clear to her. On Friday, she was told that that school was ringing her references. Now, she hasn't got the job yet, but I made sure that I let her know in our family's WhatsApp group that I'd been praying for her, ensuring that God had been given the glory. Psalm 145 encourages us to commend his works to the next generation and to pray for them fervently. And not just mums and dads and grandparents, but all of us here in church need to look at the generation or two generations or even three generations for some behind you and think, how can I commend God's works to them? We must do this. We must do this from one generation to another. So we must pray God helps us to commend your works to succeeding generations. Pray for children right now in our lives and in our church. Pray for children in our homes. Pray for teenagers and young adults in our church that they will know the power and the glory of our Heavenly Father and that Jesus is the Saviour of the world that we need, they need, and the world needs. We need to use our lives to celebrate every God moment. We need to tell the next generation how awesome you are, how mighty your acts are, how worthy you are. And may they hear that from our lips. May they see that in our lives. We need to share God with the next generation. Be excited, be enthralled with how inspiring God is, how mighty are his works, and his acts are beyond our comprehension, and he's worthy of all praise and all worship. And God, that you would cause that message to resound from our lips and resound from our lives and resound in our homes and resound in this church. This psalm also leads us to pray for help to be faithful. If the younger people don't see us living a life where we know God intimately, fear him, love him, worship him, follow him, trust him, and surrender our lives to him, how can we expect the next generation to have a lifelong faith in Jesus? We should pray that the succeeding generations would be making disciples of the nations as a result of our lives, because we have commended your works to them. God, please may that be so. God, I pray for that in my home. I pray for that in my church family I'm a part of. God, raise up a generation who loves you, desires you, and glorifies you, and spends their lives making your glory known in all the earth. One of the beautiful things about this psalm is in verses 8 and 9. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all who he has made. Imagine sharing these words with the younger generation. The picture of God is just so grand here. gracious, compassionate, slow to anger, and loving. This is the image of our perfect parent, our Heavenly Father. So how can we share the good news of Jesus with the next generation? Number one, the first thing I want to say is that you will suffer opposition to the gospel, but God equips you. The Spirit of God living in us imparts wisdom and words to speak. We don't have to figure it out for ourselves. Number two, when your words are prohibited, your godly life speaks. His light will shine through you as your behaviors glorify God. Number three, spiritual opportunities occur more often within the context of relationships and time spent together. Spending time with one another gives us opportunities to speak God truths. And number four, God listens to your prayers for the lost. If Jesus, who is God, prayed for those who would believe in the future, don't you think we should continue to pray for them?